Speaking with a member of the famed and beloved King Singers, the countertenor for the group since the fall of 2016, Patrick Dunnicky, and he is going to be, along with his fellow singers, in concert at the First Presbyterian Church in Bay City, Sunday the 17th at 6:30, with a pre-concert panel with the singers beginning at 5:45. This is a presentation through Midland Center for the Arts. MidlandCenter.org for all of the ticket information. And the King Singers will also be collaborating as a part of the concert with the Midland Center Camerata Singers. They are under the direction of Matt Travis. Patrick, so good to have a few moments to talk with you. As I understand, before we started here in Ames, Iowa, for a concert this Thursday evening, and then traveling on to Michigan by weekend's end. How long is this present tour that you and the fellow singers are a part of right now?
Well, this is actually one of the longest tours that we ever do. So our normal rule when we're touring, so as to not go too crazy, and so we don't get divorced or left by our loved ones, is a maximum of 3 weekends away. So we'll go from a Saturday in the month to 3 Sundays later is the longest we'll normally go. However, this trip is actually 4 weekends. So it's the longest trip I'll have done, I think, of pure touring. And so it's about 4 weeks. But it's exciting, and we're sort of seeing a lot of different things. With the polar vortex having happened, we've been in some pretty cold temperatures up in Canada, and we've also been in some pretty warm climates in California. So it's certainly varied, if nothing else.
So nice of America to be so hospitable with all the variations in weather with you on tour. One of the sayings that has often accompanied the group, Renaissance to the Beatles and more, if I can borrow that as sort of a paraphrase. And you, one who wanted to take on this role as the countertenor in the group, I understand from the age of 12. What music then in that line of Renaissance to the Beatles and everything else first attracted you to be a singer and inspired that desire to one day be a part of this ensemble?
Well, I was a boy chorister in the English cathedral tradition. So from the age of 8, really, I was singing every single day in a beautiful old cathedral in England. And so I grew up, I guess, primarily with the Renaissance music. That's what I really loved singing as a boy. And that was a big inspiration for me to keep going with my music. But actually, in terms of the King Singers, the first time I ever heard the group was not Renaissance music at all. I got some pocket money from my parents, and I went to a CD shop in my local town. And there's an album by the group called Six, which just had 6 tracks on it. And all I could afford was that album, because it was cheaper, given how few tracks it had. So I bought this album called The King Singers 6, that was just close harmony songs. So it was, what was on it? Lullaby by Billy Joel, and what else was that? Crikey. I can't even remember now it comes to it. After the Gold Rush by Neil Young. There were sort of arrangements of pop songs like that. And I think that's the first point. I thought, wow, these guys are cool. But that was age roughly 12, I think. But I don't think I really ever thought I would be in that group at that stage. I just really enjoyed listening to it. But then a few years later on from that, I went to hear the group's 40th anniversary concert in the Albert Hall in London. And by that stage, I'd started singing countertenor very recently. And I just thought that it was just the coolest job one could ever have. And I remember at that point thinking, wow, can you imagine if you actually got to do that job? So then it was a sort of pinch yourself moment when I was on stage for the 50th anniversary concert, standing at the end of the group in London. That was a crazy turnaround. But yeah, I think I've got Renaissance music in my blood, but I've always enjoyed how the group's tackled pop song arrangements and folk music.
Is there one person or set of, or do all of you bring the arrangements or the ideas? Is there an outside influence that suggests things to you? Because this repertoire is so vast for the group. For now, it's 50 and now into nearly its 51st year here in 2019. where do those ideas for what you all wish to perform? It seems like there's no boundaries. Who has then the idea and the inspiration for arranging this, that, or something else for the group?
Well, it's a really very organic process. Firstly, we're really lucky to have a huge library. We've got an existing library of over 3,000 different pieces, and that covers, you know, a huge variety from medieval chant through to stuff from last year. So we've got an amazing resource already in existence, which we can call on, you know, when we're programming concerts or CDs. But in terms of new stuff, it really is an organic process from within the group, and people will bring particular songs or pieces or themes or ideas or concepts, and we'll always meet and talk about them, and often there's a sort of evolution process where someone will bring one idea which will get gradually evolved and morphed and developed into something which is watertight, and then, you know, we'll always run it past our management a few times to see what they think, and maybe our record label. And so, yeah, I mean, from within the group, we've got lots of different expertise. One of my colleagues, Chris, is really into his jazz, and he sort of spearheaded a project a few years ago called the Great American Songbook, for example. But then again, you know, there are other people, myself included, who are really interested in early music and the Renaissance, and would naturally take a lead on that. So there's a sort of a natural set of expertise across the six of us. But it's an organic process where you bring an idea to your colleagues and see how it flies. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, it will fall dead. But every now and then something really works, and we develop a new program.
A graduate of King's College and now the first countertenor of the King's Singers, Patrick Dunnicky is joining us here on a Mosaic, the King's Singers coming to Bay City at the First Presbyterian Church this Sunday, the 17th at 6:30, with a pre-concert panel at 5:45, and also in collaboration on stage with the Midland Center for the Arts community group, the Camerata Singers, led by Matt Travis. All the information at midlandcenter.org. For all of these different styles, Patrick, and all of these different influences and passions that you all bring to the group, and now 50 years and so many members through the years, how is the essence, the foundation of that sound? Because it is, has been, continues to be an unmistakable sound, no matter who is a member at any given time, what piece is being performed, what recordings are being made, there is at the very foundation and essence an unmistakable King's Singers sound. Where does that come from?
Interesting question. Well, the first thing I'd say is there actually hasn't been that many singers, and that is one of the keys to it, really, is that over 50 years, 51 years now, including the original six and the current six, there have only ever been 28 people in 50 years. So it's actually not very many. And, you know, and the turnover goes in waves. And this latest lineup is new, and it's only a few months old now. So people will say, oh, hang on, I don't recognize that face. But actually, it is a very slow turnover. And so the legacy of that sound is passed down gradually, with the majority of the group always having this sort of institutional memory, and then passing that legacy onto the new member who sort of steps in and learns it and then continues it. So that's the sort of slow turnover of the group is an important thing. Another thing that's really signature to the sound is actually just the lineup of voices. It's really unusual to have two countertenors, one tenor, two baritones, and one bass. It's a strange mix of voice types, particularly the lower voices. We've got one low bass, Johnny, and two baritones, Chris, who's higher, and Nick, who's lower. And they're all singing off the bass clef. And so that sort of low set sonority gives a real rich depth to the sound. So I think, yeah, that particular spread of voices is a really key thing to that identifiable sound. Another thing is some of our sort of tricks and techniques, which we sometimes think of as like KFC's secret mix of herbs and spices. There's a few things which we do in the way we make our sounds, the way we tune our chords and we balance and we blend to each other, that really have stayed the same ever since the original guy set it up. And for example, we make quite a soft sound in a way. Each of the six of us is often singing quite softly, and the combination of six voices in a slightly hushed tone, as long as you still project it enough that it reaches the back of the hall, there's a real comfort and warm glow to this hushed tone. So I'd say, yeah, the lineup of voices, the low set pitch, and this sort of some of the tips and techniques that we use.
The concert is this Sunday, the 17th, at 6:30 at the First Presbyterian Church in Bay City. And we mentioned, Patrick, that you'll be performing in part with the Camerata Singers from the Midland Center for the Arts. How often in your touring, whether it is in Europe or around the world, do you have the chance to collaborate, or as we sometimes hear the term, masterclass, or work with ensembles who happen to be in the communities that you visit? How often do those opportunities come to play?
Well, we are very fortunate that that actually happens quite a lot. I'd say if we do between 100 and 120 concerts a year on average, probably just under half of them, in fact, maybe slightly fewer, maybe 40 a year, we might have the chance to work with a local choir during the day and sometimes be joined on stage by them in the evening, as is happening on Sunday. And it's such a pleasure for us. We're six people who are very keen to pass on what we know. We're essentially choral geeks, and it's a real honor and a treat to have a couple of hours with a choir from the local area to firstly hear the sounds that are going on in that area and, you know, hear what they're up to, but also then to talk a little bit about what we do and to try and share some techniques that we've got with them and see how that works. And yeah, we're very keen on teaching, and it's always lovely to share the stage with someone in the evening, because it's so nice to see the reaction from the audience when they see perhaps people that they know or people from their area on stage with us and making some great music. So yeah, we're fortunate to do it a fair amount, and it's going to be really nice to work with the Camerata Singers on Sunday. We've got some great pieces. The top of our second half after the intermission will be a set of shared songs with them. So yeah, it's going to be great. And it's always an honor and a privilege to share some of our craft with local singers.
Before we let you go, Patrick, and we certainly do appreciate the time today, you talked about that organic process in coming into a style, a composition, an arrangement, what have you, that comes into the group and how it is developed. So a final thought for you, Patrick Dunnicky, is there a dream project now or something completely out of the box that you would like to see this ensemble now in its 51st year take on, something maybe completely different or unique from anything heretofore that you think would be just the next great thing for the King's Singers?
Yes, and it's happening, which is it's a very timely question you asked me, David. We are actually right in the middle now. After this phone call, I'm going downstairs to have a meeting with my colleagues to work out the title for it, actually. But we have a really, really super exciting project, which will be launching in early 2020. It's a thrilling project, which is going to be in collaboration with our American charity. So we launched a nonprofit a few months ago called the King Singers Global Foundation, which is going to be marrying up some of our artistic aims with some of our charitable aims. And we're really conscious that we have this this amazing platform as we travel around the world. And we really want to use it to do good and to have a positive impact. And in 2019 and beyond, it feels like music has a very, very important power to be able to bring people together and to cross dividing lines and to focus on unity at a time when division seems to be a stronger currency. So we have a really exciting project coming up, which looks at the power of music in certain bits of the world, all over the world, to bring people together, and looks at historical episodes where music has been a key tool for communities rallying together, behind some sort of cause. And so, yeah, there's some really exciting music from countries that we haven't been to yet and in languages that we haven't sung in yet. And a lot of new commissions coming through for that project. And yeah, it's really super exciting to be doing a project where our aim is beyond just entertainment, but, you know, really to change the world in our small way.
Very interesting, very fascinating concept in all that it could encompass moving forward. I hope that we'll have a chance to talk further as that continues to develop and come to fruition on down the road. Michigan will be welcoming you and your fellow singers very soon. That is this Sunday, the 17th at 6:30 at the First Presbyterian Church of Bay City on stage for a portion of the concert with the Camerata Singers from Midland Center for the Arts, led by Matt Travis. All of the information at midlandcenter.org. First countertenor of the beloved King Singers, now in their 51st year. Patrick Dunnicky, it has been an honor and a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thanks, David.